ओम अज्ञान चिमरांदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगुणरघुनाथान्वितं धं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगनललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छकापातरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Introduction to Bhagavad Gita Session Number 2, beginning at the bottom of page 7. Lord Krishna descends specifically to reestablish the real purpose of life when man forgets that purpose. Even then, out of many, many human beings who awaken, there may be one who actually enters the spirit of understanding his position, and for him this Bhagavad Gita is spoken. So that position is one of eternal servant. That is the position of the living entity in reference to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entity is eternally the servant of God. Actually, we are all swallowed by the tigress of nescience. But the Lord is very merciful upon living entities, especially human beings. To this end, he spoke Bhagavad Gita, making his friend Arjuna his student. Being an associate of Lord Krishna, Arjuna was above all ignorance. But Arjuna was put into ignorance on the battlefield of Kurukshetra just to question Lord Krishna about the problems of life so that the Lord could explain them for the benefit of future generations of human beings and chalk out the plan of life. Then man could act accordingly and perfect the mission of human life. The subject of the Bhagavad Gita entails the comprehension of five basic truths. First of all, the science of God is explained. Then, the constitutional position of the living entities, or jivas. There is Ishvara, which means the controller, and there are jivas, the living entities, who are controlled. If a living entity says that he is not controlled, but that he is free, then he is insane. For instance, right now I am very, very sick. This proves I am controlled. Because if I was not controlled, then I wouldn't have to be sick. The living being is controlled in every respect, at least in his conditioned life. So, in Bhagavad Gita, the subject matter deals with Ishwar, the supreme controller, and the jivas, the controlled living entities, Prakriti, material nature, and time, the duration of existence of the whole universe or the manifestation of material nature, and karma, activity, are also discussed. The cosmic manifestation is full of different activities. All living entities are engaged in different activities. From Bhagavad Gita, we must learn what God is, what the living entities are, what Prakriti is, what the cosmic manifestation is, how it is controlled by time, and what are the activities of the living entities are. Krishna Kumar, could you please tell us where we are so that everybody knows? Out of these five basic subject matters in Bhagavad Gita, it is established that the Supreme Godhead, or Krishna, or Brahman, or the Supreme Controller, or Paramatma, you may use whatever name you like, is the greatest of all. The living beings are in quality like the Supreme Controller. So what is that quality? What is that quality? What else? Okay. Or you could say spiritual. God is spiritual, and in quality, the living entity is spiritual. For instance, the Lord has control over the universal affairs of material nature, as will be explained in the later chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Material nature is not independent. She is acting under the directions of the Supreme Lord. As Lord Krishna says, together, Mayad Yakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. This material nature is working under my direction. When we see wonderful things happening in the cosmic nature, we should know that behind this cosmic manifestation, there is a controller. Nothing could be manifested without being controlled. It is childish to not to consider the controller. For instance, a child may think that an automobile is quite wonderful to be able to run without a horse or other animal pulling it. But a sane man knows the nature of the automobile's engineering arrangement. He always knows that behind the machinery there is a man, a driver. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the driver under whose direction everything is working. Now the jivas, or the living entities, have been accepted by the Lord, as we will note in the later chapters, as his parts and parcels. A particle of gold is also gold. A drop of water from the ocean is also salty. And similarly, we, the living entities, being part and parcel of the Supreme Controller Ishwara, or Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna, have all the qualities of the Supreme Lord in minute quantity because we are minute Ishwaras or subordinate Ishwaras. We are trying to control nature as presently we are trying to control space or planets. And this tendency to control is there because it is in Krishna. But although we have a tendency to lord it over material nature, we should know that we are not the supreme controller. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. What is material nature? This is also explained in Gita as inferior prakriti, inferior nature. The living entity is explained as the superior prakriti. Prakriti is always under control, whether inferior or superior. Prakriti is female, and she is controlled by the Lord, just as the activities of a wife are controlled by the husband. Prakriti is always subordinate, predominated by the Lord, who is the predominator. The living entities and the material nature are both predominated, controlled by the Supreme Lord. According to the Gita, the living entities, although parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are to be considered prakriti. This is clearly mentioned in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Together, aparayam itast vanyam prakritin vidhi me param jiva bhutam. This material nature is my inferior prakriti, but beyond this is another prakriti, jiva bhutam, the living entity. Material nature itself is constituted by three qualities: the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. Above these modes, there is eternal time. And by a combination of these modes of nature, and under the control and purview of eternal time, there are activities which are called karma. These activities are being carried out from time immemorial, and we are suffering or enjoying the fruits of our activities. For instance, suppose I am a businessman and have worked very hard with intelligence and have amassed a great bank balance. Then I am an enjoyer. But then say I have lost all my money in business, then I am a sufferer. Similarly, in every field of life, we enjoy the results of our work or we suffer the results. This is called karma. Ishvar, the Supreme Lord, Jiva, the living entity, Prakriti, nature, Kala, eternal time, and karma, activity, are all explained in Bhagavad Gita. Out of these five, the Lord, the living entities, material nature, and time are eternal. The manifestation of prakriti may be temporary, but it is not false. Some philosophers say that the manifestation of material nature is false. That are the Mayavadis. That's what the Mayavadis say. That's why Prabhupada is saying some philosophers, not the Vaishnavas. The impersonalists or Mayavadis, they say. But according to the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, or according to the philosophy of the Vaishnavas, this is not so. The manifestation of the world is not accepted as false. It is accepted as real, but temporary. It is likened unto a cloud which moves across the sky, or the coming of the rainy season, which nourishes grains. As soon as the rainy season is over, and as soon as the cloud goes away, all the crops which are nourished by the rain dry up. Similarly, this material manifestation takes place at a certain interval, stays for a while, and then disappears. Such are the workings of Prakriti. But this cycle is working eternally. Therefore, Prakriti is eternal. It is not false. The Lord refers to this as my Prakriti. This material nature is the separated energy of the Supreme Lord, and similarly the living entities are also the energy of the Supreme Lord, although they are not separated, but eternally related. So the Lord, the living entity, material nature, and time are all interrelated and are all eternal. However, the other item, karma, is not eternal. The effects of karma may be very old indeed. We are suffering or enjoying the results of our activities from time immemorial, but we can change the results of our karma or our activity, and this change depends on the perfection of our knowledge. We are engaged in various activities. Undoubtedly, we do not know what sort of activities we should adopt to gain relief from the actions and reactions of all these activities. But this is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita. And this point that karma is not eternal, just imagine if karma was eternal. Like now, I'm sick. So if this was an eternal karma, what's the use of living? I'd be eternally sick. So thank God, karma is not eternal. And thank God also that we can rectify our karma. Let's continue. The position of Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, is that of supreme consciousness. The jivas, or the living entities, being parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are also conscious. Both the living entity and material nature are explained as Prakriti, the energy of the Supreme Lord. But one of the two, the jiva, is conscious. The other Prakriti is not conscious. That is the difference. Therefore, the jiva Prakriti is called superior because the jiva has consciousness which is similar to the Lord's. But in the spiritual world, everything is conscious in the spiritual world, unlike the material world. So even though in the spiritual world there is land, there are trees, there are tables and chairs, everything in the spiritual world is alive and conscious. It is said, in the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. There's no understanding of past, present, and future as we know it in the material world. Now, in the spiritual world, you have sunrise and sunset, morning and all that. But at the same time, there's no conception of time like we have here in the material world. So that's why it says, time is conspicuous by its absence. Everything is eternal. Everything is now. That's the best I can explain it. Time is there, but conspicuous by its absence. It's not time as we know it, because here in the material world, time is past, present, future, a clock, and all this. In the spiritual world, there are pastimes Krishna does in the morning, in the midday, the rasa dance, there has to be the full moon. So remember that a few months ago, we were debating, we read that verse in the 15th chapter. You might remember that. It was in this house. And I asked the question, because that verse in Bhagavad Gita says, there is no need of sunlight or moonlight in electricity. And some of you were saying, therefore, in the spiritual world, there is no sun. And I kept saying, yes, there is. And that after the kirtan, I read that verse where it, in the Brahma Samhita, directly says there is a sun and moon in the spiritual world. And the idea was, although everything is self-illumined in the spiritual world, so therefore there's no need. By nature, the material world is dark, right? It's like a big coconut, the universe. And so we need a sun to light up the dark universe. But in the spiritual world, everything is self-luminous, but still, for engagement of pastimes, there's a sun, there's a moon, there's all these things that we... Because nothing can exist here unless it's already existing in the spiritual world. But everything in the spiritual world is in its ideal, perfected position. Unlike here, where everything is perverted. Wait, wait. What?
It's not the same sun.
No. Obviously. No, this is the material. Because in every universe, there's a sun, there's a moon, there's a Brahma, there's a Shiva. But there, it's different. Okay? Let us continue. The distinction between the Jiva and the Ishvara will be explained in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is Kshetra-gya, conscious, as is the living being. But the living being is conscious of his particular body, whereas the Lord is conscious of all bodies. And that's why, there are many, but here is one good proof that you can give to somebody if they say, I am God. Well, if you're God, tell me what I'm thinking right now. Tell me what I'm feeling right now. Now, he can't. If he was God, then he would know exactly what lotto numbers to pick. He would be able to tell us who to bet on the football games tomorrow. He would be all-knowing. He can only bluff. So this is Krishna. Krishna is conscious of everybody. We're only, trust me, you don't want to be conscious of my body right now. Okay, I have bronchitis, so you don't want to be conscious of my body. You want to be conscious of your body, just deal with that. But Krishna knows what's going on in everybody's body. So that's only one of many proofs, the difference between the actual God and the living entity. Because he lives in the heart of every living being, he is conscious of the psychic movements of the particular jivas. We should not forget this. It is also explained that the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is living in everyone's heart as Ishvara, as the controller, and that he is given directions for the living entity to act as he desires. The living entity forgets what to do. First of all, he makes a determination to act in a certain way, and then he is entangled in the actions and reactions of his own karma. After giving up one type of body, he enters another type of body as we take off and put on clothes. What chapter of Bhagavad Gita Chapter. Very good. Good. As the soul thus migrates, he suffers the actions and reactions of his past activities. These activities can be changed when the living being is in the mode of goodness, in sanity, and understands what sort of activities he should adopt. So, taking what Prabhupada is saying here, if you're not in the mode of goodness, it would seem to think that you are insane, crazy. If you're just simply in the mode of passion and ignorance, not very good condition. So, mode of goodness, that's sanity. And understands what sort of activities he should adopt. If he does so, then all the actions and reactions of his past activities can be changed. Consequently, karma is not eternal. Therefore, we stated that of the five items, Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, time, and karma, four are eternal, whereas karma is not eternal. Now, what is, for me, what is brilliant about this introduction is that Prabhupada recorded this. He didn't write this. He just spoke this. He was in New York, early 1966, and he had a tape recorder, and so this just came out. And he recorded, just like he gave this long, very long, this introduction is a long series of lectures that he just composed spontaneously. And you can hear the original tapes. They're available, the actual recordings. Okay, everybody chant the Mahamantra.